from the TV to catch the matches I threw him, catching them in the air. Yeah, everyone knows this club. Alejandro Martinez owns it. I raised my eyebrows at him with a questioning look on my face. And I'm supposed to know who the fuck Alejandro Martinez is? He's notorious around New York. Fuck, he chuckled. He's notorious around the world, Austin. I cocked an eyebrow, jerking my head back, stunned. Those matches belong to Briggs. He shrugged. It makes sense, bro. There is very little that Martinez doesn't have his dirty hands on. He fucking owns this entire city. He's a smart motherfucker, too. The cops, the mayor, shit. You name it, he owns it. No one can touch him and nothing ever gets traced back to him. And women, they spread their legs open for him like he's the king of the fucking universe. How do you know this? I'm a New Yorker. I eyed the matches that were still in his grasp. Austin, if you want to fuck her so bad, call the number I have. You're a good-looking guy. I'm sure she's done worse. Shut the fuck up, I sneered. If I wanted to fuck her, I would have the other day. You don't know shit about shit, so watch your goddamn mouth when you talk about her. Jesus Christ, relax. You don't even know this girl, and already you're pussy-whipped. Look, he put out his hands in a surrendering gesture. How about we go to the club tonight? It's a few streets over on Broadway. A bit of a hike from here, but I feel like getting fucked up tonight anyway. He stood. Try to find something nice to wear, pretty boy. This club is dressed to impress. I know the bouncer. He's been working there for years. We probably won't have to pay a cover. We pulled up to the club around midnight. I'd brought a pair of black slacks and a few button-down collared shirts with me from Miami. I never wore them. They were the only clothes I owned that didn't look worn out and old. Just like Mike expected, the bouncer didn't charge us. He stamped our hands, opened the velvet rope, and let us through. The people waiting in the line wrapped around the building were pissed, to say the least. As soon as we walked in, I immediately realized that this wasn't going to be as easy as I thought. The club was huge and packed with people. It was hard for us to even get by without having to wait a few seconds for the crowd to separate. I was there on a whim. I knew there was a huge chance Briggs wasn't even at the club tonight, but that didn't stop me from getting dressed up and paying the $60 cab fare from our motel. The music was pounding through the speakers all around us, vibrating through my core as we tried to make our way to the bar. The place was exceeding capacity, filled to the brim, everyone dressed to the nines. Beautiful people just getting their night started, with a beat of the house music blaring above the crowds. My eyes wandered all around the two-story building, everything from the flashing lights to the neon strobes strumming around every corner, the plush couches and tables stacked with bottles upon bottles of Moët and other expensive alcohol. The already fucked-up people dancing their asses off, with their eyes closed and their heads leaned toward the ceiling, letting the melody of the music take over them. I instantly knew that drugs flowed in this place as much as the booze did, which only gave me more hope that Briggs was here. Mike ordered us some drinks from the bar while I continued to search the crowd, trying to spot the girl with bright purple hair and tattoos. When he returned, he handed me a whiskey neat, along with one of his ecstasy pills that I turned down. I wasn't here to party. He looked at me like I'd grown three heads before shaking his, swallowing them both down instead. I never turned down a good time, but I didn't want to be fucked up while trying to find her. Mike found some old friends that had a table in one of the corners, and they asked us to join them. More drugs. More booze. No Briggs. I was beginning to lose hope. The song changed over to Young and Beautiful by Lana Del Rey, and out of nowhere, out of pure instinct, emotion, and feeling, I looked up to the second story. She appeared out of thin air, like a goddamn angel, wearing a tight white dress with red heels. She was standing in the dead center of the club, her vibrant purple hair flowing all around her, with her fucking tits on full display. Her hands leaned against the railing, looking down at the crowd of people below her, swaying her body in a slow, sexy, seductive way that only Briggs could pull off. And then, as if it was meant to be, as if we were meant to be, She found my gaze in the endless crowd of people, like she felt me, too.
Briggs, I hadn't seen Austin since that night in his hotel room. Deep down, I hoped I'd hear from him with the weekend approaching, but I hadn't. I left without giving him my number, but his friend had my card, and still no call. It was Friday night, and the weekends were always the best time to get fucked up. My uncle's clubs were always the place to be. And I always brought the party. I was sitting at my usual spot, the best table in the club, with random partygoers drinking off the bottles in front of us. Nothing had changed in almost 4 years. Same scene, different faces. Young and beautiful blew through the speakers, and I began to let the music take over. An unexplainable desire came over me, pulling and pushing me to walk toward the balcony. I didn't know what I was looking for. An unfamiliar feeling settled in my stomach, in my heart, in my fucking soul, until I locked eyes with the man I had been losing sleep over for the last 3 days, for the last year. Austin. My lips parted and my breathing hitched. I don't know how long we stood there staring deep into each other's eyes, as if the hundreds and hundreds of people around us disappeared. Everything faded out. The music, the lights, the crowd. It was just him and me. No one else. I watched him make his way towards the stairs, our connection never breaking. Each step he took brought him closer to me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The bouncer at the end of the stairs immediately put his arm out across Austin's chest, denying access. He didn't have a VIP band on. I lunged into action. John, he's fine. He's with me, I shouted over the music. John eyed me cautiously. Never in the past 4 years, not even once, had I ever said someone was with me. He nodded, letting Austin through and went back to standing guard. How did you find? He took my hand, interrupting me, and placed the matches I gave him the other night in my palm. Before I realized what was happening, he grabbed my wrist and pulled me toward him, engulfing me in nothing but his whiskey, cigarette, and fresh, clean scent, wrapping his arms around me, pressing me close to his solid, muscular frame. Fuck. I just wanted to make sure you were real. He breathed out into my ear, causing shivers to course throughout my entire body. My heart pounded against his chest. I knew he could feel it. I could feel his, too. You are so goddamn beautiful, Briggs. Do you have any idea how fucking breathtaking you are? My eyes widened. No one had ever said those words to me. No one had ever held me in their arms like I was their entire world. My hands touched his back lightly. I was feeling so much, yet not nearly enough. He pulled away just enough to caress the side of my face with his callous thumb, still holding me close with one arm. His eyes told me he wanted to say so much, though nothing came out. The club was partying all around us, the bright lights flashing, the DJ was killing it with the music. But none of that existed to us right then. We were too caught up in each other to care. What's your name? He asked again with a knowing expression. I already told you. Briggs. No. He shook his head. What's your name? What's your name? He repeated, emphasizing the last three words. I didn't know where he was going with his question, and I wasn't sure how to respond. I licked my lips, my mouth suddenly becoming dry. His eyes gazed over as he followed the movement of my tongue. He wanted to kiss me, and I so desperately wanted him to. He was causing all sorts of feelings deep within me, and the son of a bitch knew it. Why are you here, Austin? You know what I do. The truth's out. Why are you? Is that why you left that night? The night I met you on the balcony, because you're a dealer? Yes. His hand moved to the nook of my neck, gripping it a little too hard, but not hard enough. I'm here for you. He simply stated, not caring about what I'd just admitted. So, I will ask you one more time. What's your name? Oh, shit! A girl giggled, running into the side of us, breaking our connection. He immediately held her up with a firm grip on her upper arm, his other arm still firmly wrapped around my waist. You all right? He asked, trying to steady her. She nodded, barely realizing she was drunk as shit. Austin glanced over at me, and I knew what he was asking. I stepped aside so he could help her sit down on the couch. He filled one of the glasses with ice water, handing it to her. Drink some water, he told her. With shaky hands, she brought the glass to her lips, took a sip, and gazed up at him, like she had just fallen in love. He He was taking care of her like a knight in shining armor. I would be lying if I said I wasn't jealous when I had no right to be. At that moment, I realized that Austin had a good heart. He was not only charming, but he was loving, caring, and genuine. I wanted to get to know more of him. I wanted to get to know everything. And that scared me more than anything. Chapter 16. Briggs. I leaned back against the railing and he followed suit. You really are a southern gentleman, huh? He grinned with a mischievous gaze in his eyes. She will be fine. She's notorious for being a hot mess. I've seen worse. Shit, I've done worse, he confessed, rubbing the back of his neck. For some reason, I don't doubt that. You look beautiful, by the way, he said out of nowhere. I blushed. Thank you. You do too. Beautiful? That's a new one. He chuckled, and I knew he was talking about his scars. Chicks dig scars. It's that whole bad boy thing, I said, trying to lighten the mood. So I've been told. How about you? I smirked, shrugging just to fuck with him. I have purple hair, and I'm covered in ink. My opinion might not hold a high regard. Is that right? He pulled my hair away from my face, setting it behind my shoulder. His thumb grazed my cheek. Your opinion is the only one that matters. He moved his hand away, but I didn't lose his warmth for long. He grabbed my hand lightly and unknowingly drew tiny circles on my skin, just to feel me. He leaned over to ask, closer to me, speaking of the tattoos, how many do you have? I narrowed my eyes, counting in my head. One? Oh, I see what you did there, he laughed. The sleeves. He gestured to my arms, stepping out to stand in front of me. Except the bows. He leaned down to skim his fingers along the back of my thighs, pausing. They're here. Sliding his fingers up my thighs, continuing his journey. He grazed the hem of my dress, then my panties until he reached my lower abdomen. Then you have one here, and... Touching along the left side of my stomach. Another one here. Skimming his way to the right side. And here. He lightly brushed the tips of his fingers around my stomach. Scattered riding all along here. Moving his hand slowly up the side of my breast. This one here, he added, rubbing the cursive writing on my clavicle bone back and forth. I stopped breathing. But my favorite, he rasped, coming close to my ear, is the one on your back. One day you're going to tell me what all your tattoos mean, Briggs, along with your real name. And with that, he pulled away from me to stand beside me and continue to softly rub my hand. I instantly cleared my throat. I lost count a long time ago, trying to sound unaffected. How old are you? I'll be 19 in a few months. You? Almost 22. He pushed off the railing, turned and caged me in, placing his hands on the bars beside my hips, coming closer again like he suddenly changed his mind and needed to be surrounding me again, consuming me with his touch and presence so that when he was gone, when he wasn't around me, when we weren't together, I would miss him. His touch. His presence. The effect he had on me. You haven't gotten all that ink in a year. Damn, you must have lived at the parlor. I shook my head. No, this, I gestured toward myself, has been over almost 4 years. I got my first tattoo when I was 15. He jerked back, surprised. Which one? I pointed to the one on my back. His favorite. Is that how long you've been... dealing? I finished for him. He nodded. Just about. Where's your family? Your parents? I looked down toward the ground. I knew this was coming, and even though I expected it, I was still at a loss on how to respond and react. Let's not share our sad stories, Austin, hmm? Yet, he stated, making me peer back up at him. Let's not share our sad stories yet. There was something in his tone that made me immediately ask, where are you sleeping tonight, Austin? Back at the motel. Mike's here too, somewhere down there. He nodded to the crowd below us. I hated that he said the motel. He didn't belong in that shithole. No one fucking did. So when I blurted, come home with me, it just felt right. Briggs, you... We're best friends, remember? He scoffed out a chuckle before we made our way over to the stairs. John? I shouted, making him look up at me. I'm going to head out. Everything is in the office. I put it all in the safe. He nodded, waving me off. Austin followed close behind as I led us toward the private stairs in the back of the building. He ran into his friend Mike and told him he was coming home with me. Mike reminded him that they needed to be out of their shitty hotel room by 8 a.m. He said he would leave a note on the table letting him know where he was going. I couldn't believe I was doing this. I never brought men back to my apartment. No one knew where I lived except my uncle. But there I was, bringing a complete stranger back to my home, one that took me years to build, to feel safe in my own environment, my own surroundings. I wasn't scared that he would hurt me. At least, not in the physical sense. I didn't know what I was expecting, what I wanted from him. Maybe I was just lonely. Years of being by myself and not letting anyone in will do that to a person, and I wasn't any different. I guess maybe I just wanted a friend. Even though the thought alone terrified me. I pushed the back door open and hit the unlock button on my key fob before I stepped foot onto the pavement. The lights blinked twice. Damn, Austin breathed out, pulling me away from my thoughts. Huh? I replied, looking where he was staring. Oh, yeah, I simply stated as he continued to take in my car.
You drive a 67 SS Chevelle? He questioned,
cocking his head to the side with an amused expression. I bit my lip. I blew at being a girl. I just really liked muscle cars. He softly touched along the hood of the car. A 396 engine, he said out loud, peering only at the car. I think I just fell in love with you. I wasn't sure if he was talking to the car or me, but we got in before I could give it any more thought.
And the girl knows how to work stick. This night just keeps getting better.
In 6-inch stilettos, I added. He groaned and I giggled, pushing the clutch down, shifting it into first gear. The engine revved. I pushed down the clutch again and switched into second. I could see him staring at me out of the corner of my eye. Once we got on the street, I shifted the car into third, and I swear I saw him smile and shake his head. He reached across the center console and started to lightly skim my thigh as we drove in comfortable silence. I didn't live far from the club, so it didn't take long to get home. I made a quick left, and we were pulling in and parking my car in the garage. I quickly got out before him, needing to get some air. My decision to bring him home with me was purely based on impulse, and now I wasn't sure if I made the right choice. My heels clicked on the pavement, mimicking the pounding of my heart as we walked toward the door. I pressed the fob against the entry, and the door snapped open. My mind started running wild. Plaguing questions assaulted every fiber of my being till we reached my apartment door. I was about to put in the key, but his hand stopped me, placing it directly on top of mine. We locked eyes. Relax, Briggs. We're best friends, remember? I let out a breath that I didn't realize I was holding, and he gave me a comforting smile. How did you? I shook my head and opened the door instead of finishing my question. I set my keys on the island and opened the fridge, grabbing 2 water bottles and throwing one at him. He caught it midair, even though he was busy taking in all my surroundings. My home.
Quite a place you got here. Apparently I'm in the wrong business.
I shrugged, mostly because I didn't want to explain or have to answer questions. There's a bathroom right there. I pointed next to the closet. And then the rest is pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to take a quick shower. There are towels in that bathroom under the sink if you'd like to take one also. I'll get you some blankets and pillows when I come out. He nodded. I walked away and could feel him watching my every move until I shut the bathroom door. I don't know how long I stayed in the shower, lost in my own thoughts. I changed into some cotton shorts and a tank top, throwing my hair up into a messy bun on the top of my head. I didn't have a stitch of makeup on. When I walked out of the bathroom, the smell of smoke instantly assaulted my senses, tearing away my insecurities of having him see me without my shield of armor on. The balcony door was open, and the light breeze was blowing the curtains. I walked out there, finding Austin leaning forward against the railing, wearing just his black slacks, his shirt, shoes, and socks long gone. A cigarette placed in between his index and middle finger, staring out at the New York skyline. He appeared as lost as I felt. I watched from afar for a few minutes, taking in his scars, welcoming the distraction. I desperately wanted to know what happened to him, probably as much as he wanted to know my real name and the meanings of my tattoos. He was right, though. Every last piece of ink on my body had a reason behind it. Every last piece had a sentiment attached to it. Pieces of my heart and soul were inked on my skin, etched in permanently for everyone to see, but to never know the significance, the meaning. That was reserved just for me. When he took a drag of his cigarette and blew it out into the air, I didn't know if it was the smoke, the fresh clean scent of his shower, or just him, but I found myself reaching out to touch the scar right down the center of his back. It was the worst one I'd seen on him so far. The skin was raised and mangled as if glass had torn into him, piece by piece, settling into his skin for hours and becoming a part of him. He immediately froze the second he felt my touch against it, my presence around him, knowing what I was doing, what I was thinking, the answers to my questions that I sought since the first time I laid my eyes on him. It was beautiful. He was beautiful. Every last part of him. Scars and all.
Briggs,
I'm sorry. I interrupted, not ready to hear a sad story, knowing that mine would have to follow. I wasn't ready to divulge that information. I didn't think I ever would be. As much as he wanted the truth, I wanted to remain in the lies. I immediately lowered my hand and turned to go back inside. Before I even saw it coming, he caught my wrist, catching me off guard and tugging me towards him. I lost my footing. My hand instantly pressed against his warm, firm chest, causing heat to swirl through my body, starting from my head, down to my toes, the other hand still tightly locked within his grasp. His strong arms wrapped around me, caging me against his body, his scent, his scars, his truths, comforting me and tormenting me in ways I never thought possible. His mouth collided with mine, a force I had yet to experience, only brought on by him. Austin. And I wasn't talking about the unexpected kiss. His lips were as smooth as they were in my dreams. He tasted exactly how I'd remembered. Trouble. His lips parted, beckoning me to do the same. I followed his lead, softly caressing the tip of my tongue with his. Our mouths moved against one another as if they were destined to meet and come together. A chance, a circumstance, that's all we were to each other. We kissed and kissed until we couldn't kiss anymore. It was loud. It was maddening. It was everything. He softly pecked me, slowing down the unexpected movements of our emotional catastrophic connection, resting his forehead on mine to stare deep into my eyes. "Tell me you felt that," he groaned, mimicking my panicked, heavy breathing. "Yes," I panted, loud enough for him to hear. He lightly smiled, like that one word, those three letters were everything he ever wanted to hear. He pecked my lips one last time, slowly letting me go to back away from me, as if we now both needed space to gather our life-changing emotions. I turned without saying another word, taking relief in the escape he was offering. By the time I finished his makeshift bed, he was walking back in, closing the door behind him. He made his way over to me, rubbing the back of his head like he often did when he was lost in thought. "The couch is really comfortable. I pass out on it all the time," I said, trying to keep my eyes from gawking at his body. The same body I had dreamt about for almost a year placed on top of mine, making me come in ways I never had done with other men. The same body I had just felt beating, throbbing up against mine. "Thank you for letting me crash," he simply stated, pulling the blankets back to lie down. I could sense he wanted me to lie next to him. It wasn't because he wanted us to keep kissing. He wanted us to keep talking. But I knew that would only lead to more thoughts and emotions, and I had enough of them already wreaking havoc on my soul. "Don't mention it. Good night, Austin." "Night, Briggs," he replied, failing at hiding his disappointment. It usually took me forever to fall asleep at night, a curse that had stayed with me since childhood. I would toss and turn for hours till I was exhausted enough to pass the fuck out. But that night, sleep came immediately. I couldn't remember the last time that happened. I had felt a sense of security with him a few feet away. Hearing his soft breathing was comforting to me. Seeing him before the darkness took over brought me a sense of peace. I could still feel his lips pressed up against mine, our tongues tangled, and his scent surrounding me everywhere. I could still feel him. For the first time in forever, I wasn't alone. I wasn't scared of the night and everything it had to offer. The shadows that crept in the corners were hidden. At least that night. I woke up the next morning. My hand immediately touched my lips, rubbing them back and forth, as if his had never left. I felt refreshed and energized, happy even. So when I sat up and looked over toward the couch, expecting to see a sleeping Austin, all I saw were blankets and pillows placed on the corner of the sofa. He'd left, without saying goodbye.
"Austin, She wasn't lying about her couch being comfortable as fuck. I passed out within minutes of my head hitting the pillow. I couldn't remember the last time I slept in a comfortable, clean place. Even the random couches I crashed on here and there were as hard as a fucking rock. Most of the time, I just ended up passing out on the damn floor instead. I was usually an early riser. Always had been, so it didn't surprise me that she was still sleeping soundly when I woke up. I sat up, placing both feet on the floor, catching my bearings and stretching. Like every morning, my back hurt like a son of a bitch. I got up, went to the bathroom, and did my thing. When I came out, I almost started laughing when I heard her sporadic, soft, gentle snoring. Fuck, it was the cutest thing I'd ever heard. I couldn't help but stare at her while I was folding the blankets. Her vibrant purple hair was fanned out around her face. She was so fucking beautiful, even without her makeup. More so, even. It was then I wished I had a notebook to capture her beauty on paper, make it live through the pages of my art. I resisted the urge to crawl in bed with her, to hold her in my arms. As much as I tried not to touch her last night, I couldn't fucking help myself. She was so warm, smooth, and smelled like everything I ever wanted. I was definitely caught off guard when she offered me a place to stay. I wasn't expecting that, and I don't think she was either. I could sense her anxiety the entire drive to her apartment, and even more as we made it toward her door. Of course I wanted to have sex with her. I wasn't a fucking saint. The only time I went home with a girl was to do just that. Fuck her. Briggs was different. She was the first girl I wanted to get to know, inside and out. For some reason, that didn't scare me. If anything, it made me happy, and that was the feeling I was most unfamiliar with. I wasn't expecting to pull her into my arms and kiss her. It just happened. I kissed her because I couldn't not kiss her. It was only one kiss, and I already knew it wasn't nearly enough. I'd kissed hundreds of girls by that point, and it was the first time I actually felt like I was kissing someone. The connection was alive and thriving all around us. The force, the pull. So fucking strong that there was no way to ever push away. I headed to the motel room. The last thing I wanted was to get charged for another night in that piece of shit room. Mike was already gone by the time I went to go and grab all my shit. He left a note on the table with an address and a phone number. I packed up all my belongings, which wasn't much, and got the hell out of there. I wasn't sure if the next morning I would be at Briggs or Mike's friend's couch, but one thing was for sure. I was staying in New York. It took me a minute to find a place to buy some breakfast for us, and I got lost trying to find my way back to her apartment. After walking around aimlessly for over an hour, I managed to find my way back. I had grabbed her key fob in case she was still sleeping when I returned, since I left before the sun came up. It was already almost noon by the time I was at her door again. I knocked instead of just walking in. I figured she was already awake, maybe wondering where I went. At least, I hoped she was. When she opened the door, I couldn't tell if she was surprised to see me again or surprised that someone had knocked on her door. With a big grin, I raised her coffee and a bag filled with every kind of donut known to fucking man out in front of me. "I got us some breakfast." She smiled and it lit up her entire face. I caught her expression in the air and placed it on my heart, causing her to smile wider. She moved aside, gesturing for me to come in. I was worried about what she would think when she saw I held all of my possessions over my shoulder, my entire world in a tattered duffel bag. The last thing I wanted was for her to think I was moving in. I sat my bag down by the sofa and made my way over to the kitchen island, where I placed her coffee and food. I was about to tell her why I had all my shit with me, but the suitcase on her bed distracted me. Instead, I turned around to face her and immediately blurted, "Where are we going?" She eyed me cautiously for several seconds, her gaze fallen to my bag against the sofa.
"I can't take you with me," she replied like she didn't want to say it. "I'm leaving, and I don't know when I'll be back. I go where I'm told. I don't have any choice in the matter, And right now, I'm being told to go to Columbia.
I jerked back, shocked as shit.
You're trafficking drugs? I'm an exporter/importer, Austin. I'm the middleman.
The fuck? I breathed out, instant anger taking over.
Jesus Christ, do you have any idea how dangerous that is? Who the hell would put you in the line of fire like that?
She reassuringly shook her head, and it did nothing but piss me off further. Not at her, but at the fucker that was making her do this.
I'm fine. No one is going to fuck with me. Trust me.
Briggs, I coaxed, trying to calm down. The anger was overtaking me. She wasn't to blame for this, and I needed to remember that.
There's always someone with me when I meet a new client. But it doesn't fucking matter, Austin. I've been taking care of myself for as long as I can remember.
Then it's about fucking time someone took care of you, looked after you. I stepped toward her, grazing the side of her cheek.
Let me be that man. Let me take care of you. What does that even mean?
She pulled away from my touch.
You don't even know me, Austin. We met once at a party. We talked and shared a joint. That's it. What are we doing here? What do you want from me?
I was taken aback, knowing that deep down, she felt what I did.
Don't pretend like we don't have something. I know you can feel it too, Briggs. I can see it in your damn eyes every time you look at me. I can feel it on your skin every time I touch you.
I grazed her cheek again to prove my point. Who knows where this will lead, but I sure as hell want to find out. I stepped closer to her again, holding her face between my hands. To my surprise, she let me. I can't stop you from doing this. It's your life. But I can be a part of it. I can protect you. She scoffed out a laugh.
Huh, you want to be my bodyguard? Austin, I haven't had one of those since I was 14,
she revealed with pain in her eyes. Just adding to her mysterious allure that I couldn't figure for the life of me.
I'll be whatever you want me to be. As long as I can keep you safe, I don't give a fuck. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
She leaned into my touch, looking deep into my eyes, and whispered,
Where's your family, Austin? Where are your parents? I can't do that to you. I can't do that to them.
I nodded in understanding. I don't have anything to go home to.
You should stay away from me, Austin. I'm no good for you. This will only end badly. It always does.
Her eyes glazed over, immediately filling with tears.
Hey,
I coaxed, pulling her toward me to wrap my arms around her. Having her in my arms felt like heaven and home. The connection we shared was like nothing I had ever experienced before, as if she was made for me. Only me. I'm going with you, Briggs. I'm not taking no for an answer. She took a deep breath and melted into my arms like she was trying to mold us into one person, and murmured,
Okay.
Chapter 17. Briggs. When my phone rang, I was expecting it. To be honest, I was expecting him to just show up at one of the places he was sending me to. He could track me down in seconds, but he didn't. He never even mentioned Austin. Not once. My uncle only called me concerning important business matters, and I knew this phone call would be anything but. Austin was working again. I hated that he had to leave me to go make money. He was adamant about paying his own way and not living off of me. It didn't bother me to pay for everything. I had more money than I knew what to do with, but I understood. The last 3 months were like nothing I'd ever experienced before. Even though I was used to this life and it was all I'd ever known, Austin made it different for me. It changed me in ways I never thought were possible before. He made me appreciate the beauty within the darkness. The light at the end of the tunnel that I had been walking through all my life wasn't just at the end anymore. That's what Austin showed me. He lit up my dark tunnel and brought light into my life. Hope. Years of being alone and only relying on myself became second nature, like a second skin. With him, with Austin, I was starting to shed through the different layers and show what lied underneath the tattoos and purple hair. Daisy. I laughed. I smiled a lot. My heart felt full in ways it hadn't since before my parents died. I was happy. And even though the feeling terrified me, I embraced it because it was just too beautiful to let go. I knew it was only 3 months. 3 fucking months, and I got attached to him. When he wasn't around, I missed him. Like, a part of me was missing. The light was gone. He took it with him. I hated that feeling more than anything in this world. He had the ability to look at me in a way that was so beautifully broken, like two halves of a heart finally coming together and becoming one after years of being apart. Which only added to my theory that this wasn't the first time we had been together. Our souls had met before, in another time, in another place. We were destined, whether we wanted to be or not. It was fate. We were fate. I had an idea to present to my uncle. I was just waiting for the phone call.
Briggs, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Uncle Alejandro calmly coaxed when I answered the phone. Hi to you too. No, how are you? What have you been up to? I sassed. I couldn't help myself.
I'm in no mood for your bitchiness. I have let this go on for 3 months without saying a word. 3 fucking months waiting for you to say something to me? Not one fucking word? So I will ask again, and it would be in your best interest to answer my fucking question. What the fuck do you think you're doing?
His name is Austin.
Taylor from Oak Island, North Carolina. Born at Dosher Memorial Hospital on June 5th. Graduated from South Brunswick High School 4 years ago. Almost died in a car accident his senior...
Car accident? I interrupted, shocked.
Ah, so you really don't know everything about him. Would you like to know his goddamn social security number? Maybe his background?
It's all sitting here in front of me. I know who the fuck he is.
I want to know why the fuck he is with you.
He roared, his patience wearing thin. He's my friend. Silence. I met him in Miami a year ago and again in New York before I left. He doesn't have anyone. He's been backpacking and pretty much homeless. He keeps me safe, Uncle. He protects me. You should see the men when I bring him.
Are you going to fuck him too? Seeing as that didn't work out so great for your last bodyguard,
he viciously spewed.
That's none of your fucking business. I can't believe you just brought that up. I'm a grown woman and it's none of your business who I fuck now,
I sneered.
It becomes my goddamn business when it's messing with mine, peladita.
I thought you would be happy that I found someone who cares about me, wants to protect me, seeing that you put me in the line of fire.
If someone fucks with you, Briggs, they fuck with me. Trust me. No one wants to fuck with me,
he gritted out through the phone. He makes me happy. I'm happy, Uncle, I simply stated, hoping that would be enough to make him understand. I paced around the room, trying to think of what else I could say to him to make him understand. I didn't want to lose Austin.
You can be happy without this little fuck following you around like a lost puppy.
Did you ever stop and think that maybe he's using you? How did you meet Briggs? Hmm?
At a library? I know how much you love to fucking read.
I didn't falter. If I did, I would lose him. He's not using me. He works. Every single place we have been to these last 3 months, he has worked his ass off. He doesn't let me pay for anything. Trust me, I have offered. He won't let me.
That explains the shitty places you've been staying at. How's it feel to live on the other side? Everything you thought it would be? I've given you the best, and this is how you repay me?
Then give him a job.
Excuse me?
He protects me. He looks out for me, and he's keeping me safe. It's not any different than what Esteban used to do. He keeps me calm when I meet the associates. Knowing that at any point in time shit could go south, he's there to watch my back. You want me to worry about my safety? I asked.
So what you're saying is that you want me to pay for you to fuck the hired help again? What does that offer me?
Another strong person to add to your business. Your growing empire, as you call it. He's good, Uncle. He doesn't talk when I take him on runs. He just stands in the background and makes his presence known with his I'll fuck you up if you touch your demeanor. He doesn't take shit from anyone. He's fucking fearless. Exactly what you thrive on.
Silence.
I'll bat for him, okay? He fucks up, shit goes bad, it falls on me. Now those are words you understand.
If I go down, peladita, you go down with me. Now those are words you understand.
He repeated back to me, knowing he meant it. I took a deep breath, thinking I'd lost.
I'll play it your way for a while. I'm sending a man over. His name is Pablo. He will give your new bodyguard everything he needs. including a business credit card that I will pay him on weekly. If you sleep in one more piece of shit motel, Austin will deal with me, not you. Are we clear? I nodded, even though he couldn't see me. Crystal. Now that it's the two of you traveling together, it will be easier for me to have everything ready when you get to the hotels. I see you've already been using my contacts for his fake passports behind my back. That ends now. By easy, he meant to control him, me, us, the situation. I didn't care as long as it kept Austin with me. Thank you, Uncle. I promise you, Briggs, don't make promises that you have no fucking control over. Especially when it comes to that puta called love, he stated. Bitch with a bitter tone I'd never heard before. Thank you anyway. He hung up without saying a word, and I spent the rest of the afternoon trying to forget about the car accident that almost killed Austin.
Austin, everything happened so fucking fast. Overnight, my life changed in the blink of an eye. Physically, emotionally, mentally. All because of the girl covered in tattoos with purple hair. It had been 5 months since I'd left with her, leaving behind the shitty life I had become accustomed to. We had traveled to so many different places after Columbia, seen so many different things. The sky was the limit. It was a reoccurring joke between us. Every new place we went, we had new passports, all new identities. Sometimes we would pretend to be newlyweds, madly in love with each other. That was my favorite. We played the role too well, almost forgetting it was a ploy. I didn't fucking care. It always gave me an excuse to touch Briggs inappropriately in public. It changed everywhere we went, and it was fucking hilarious coming up with new ideas with her. Never a dull moment. Not once. But one thing was for sure. One thing never changed. We were friends. Getting to know her was like waking up from a dream, like I had been sleeping my entire life. Just waiting for the moment she would come into my world and make me start living. Which was the only way I could explain it, and even that didn't do it justice. I knew I sounded like a goddamn pussy, but nothing compared to seeing the world through Briggs's eyes. I realized pretty quickly that I hadn't even started really traveling till she was by my side. It was supposed to be for business, but we were having the time of our lives, partying, getting high, and meeting new people everywhere we went. She still didn't get high off her own stash, so she would buy from the suppliers before it officially became hers. To see the world like that was surreal, and it was all made possible because of her. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't all fun and games. For the first 3 months, I worked my fucking ass off, trying to make money any way I could to support us. It was pretty easy, since technically I was just a tourist passing through. Business owners loved that, being able to pay me under the table for a few days' work. If I wasn't keeping Briggs safe with the shit she had to do, I was working on my own. There was no way in fucking hell that I was going to be dependent on her, and I never wanted her to think I was using her for money. She always told me she knew that wasn't my motive for traveling with her, but she also didn't want me to leave her side. She missed me too much when I was gone, even if it was only for a few hours in the day. She hated it. It was unreal how fast you could become attached to a person, which was funny, because all I ever wanted was to run away from my life and everyone in it. But there I was, wanting to spend an eternity in hers. Briggs didn't like to talk about the past. In fact, she refused to let me into that part of her life, the part that led her up to this point in time. I respected her wishes, but I didn't like it. I figured over time she would open up to me when she was ready. I just had to be patient. Her future was mine. I knew I was her first real friend. She told me that often, and I would be lying if I said that I didn't love that she chose me, even though it made me sad for her, knowing how lonely that must have been. I was lucky in the sense that I grew up with Alex and the boys, even though we weren't on speaking terms now. I still managed to send my parents and half-pint a postcard every once in a while. I knew that Briggs worked for Alejandro Martinez, but not because his name came out of her mouth. The business associates, as she called them, said his name often. It was hard for me to follow, since they mostly spoke in Spanish. It was a nice fucking surprise the first time I heard her speaking it so fluently. I jacked off in the shower like a fucking 13-year-old boy when we got back to the hotel that afternoon, remembering the sexy as fuck tone of her voice as she was talking to the men. I pictured her face the entire time and came so fucking hard I saw stars. One night 2 months ago, after working with a construction company for a few days, I came back to the hotel and she was smiling like a fool. Of course, I walked over to her and caught her expression in the air, placing it on my heart. That had become our thing, and it always made her smile even bigger, lighting up her entire face. It was the first time I ever saw her so fucking happy, and I didn't even know the cause, but I didn't care. The look on her face was all that mattered to me. She pulled me on the couch next to her and told me I didn't have to leave her anymore. I was ready to tell her the same shit I'd been saying for the last 3 months, but she interrupted me, placing her finger over my lips to silence me. She continued telling me that she got me a job with Martinez, that I was officially her bodyguard, and before I had time to react to what she had just shared, there was a knock on the door. A man named Pablo showed up with a suitcase full of clothes, suits, shoes, everything I needed, and things I most likely would never wear. They were all packed neatly, waiting to be used. He handed me an envelope with a letter from Martinez and then a briefcase. The letter stated that everything I needed was in the briefcase, including a business debit card that I had to use for everything. It already had $12,000 on it. He called it back pay for the last 3 months for protecting Briggs. He went on to say that he would be paying me $1,000 a week on that card for my services of being her bodyguard. All I kept thinking was that I would have continued doing it for free. I opened the briefcase and found 2 passports and the business credit card he mentioned before. There was some other shit in there that I wasn't sure what to do with. What caught my attention, though, were the 2 9-millimeter guns. One was secured in a black leather suspender holster, and the other in what seemed like an ankle holster. Both guns had permits that matched the names on the passports in the briefcase. Luckily, I knew how to use a gun. Most Southern boys do. Everything in that briefcase was a lie. Every last document was fake, but looked so fucking authentic. So fucking real. There wasn't a chance in hell that anyone would spot them as fakes. Briggs was so fucking happy, so I didn't think twice about it. I started working for Martinez because all I wanted to do was keep her safe. From that point on, we only stayed at 5-star hotels, partying with some of the richest, most corrupt people in the world, and I was having the time of my life. Working for Martinez came with instant respect, money, power, everything I never had before, but always wanted. All of it was new and exciting. I didn't give my new job a second thought. All the luxuries outweighed the fact that I was working for a drug lord. Although Briggs called it organized crime, she said Martinez was involved in everything and anything. It wasn't just about the drugs. That what we worked in it was just an aspect of what he ran and controlled. A new briefcase was waiting for me at each new location we traveled to. Sometimes it would be in the limo that picked us up from the airport, and other times it would be waiting for us in our room. Out with the old, in with the new, every goddamn time. New clothes, new documents, new passports, new guns with permits. Everything we needed, without batting a fucking eye. Each day was a new day with Briggs by my side. Life couldn't have been better. We were lying on the bed with our legs entwined, our bodies next to each other watching a movie in the hotel. I kept blowing raspberries on her neck. She was thrashing around like crazy, shrieking from the pleasure and pain it brought her. She loved it. She just loved to pretend like she didn't.
"Austin, stop!"
she laughed uncontrollably. Desperately trying to hold back my face, knowing it didn't matter, I would stop when I wanted to. And I didn't want to. She sideswiped my arms and was tickling under my chin and around my neck before I even saw it coming.
Oh, little girl, that's a way to get hurt, I threatened, grabbing her arms and locking them above her head.
I hated my neck being touched. Too many years of being tortured as a child by my family members thinking it was funny to tickle my neck for entertainment. My body was now on top of her, and I saw it immediately. Her eyes glazed over, and her pupils dilated, revealing the look of lust I had grown so accustomed to. It had been 5 months since I left with her, and all we did was talk, cuddle, and flirt relentlessly with each other. I couldn't remember the last time I went this long without having sex, and yet it didn't fucking bother me. Not one bit. What Briggs and I shared was deeper than any piece of pussy could ever offer me. Not that I didn't want to bury my cock deep inside her. She was everything. She bit her lip, waiting for what I was going to do next. I hadn't kissed her since the night on her balcony. That one kiss was all I had to hold me over. "What's your name?" I rasped, feeling the effect she always had on me. I'd probably asked her like 50 times up until that point, and each time she changed the subject, or she would blatantly lie to me and say, "Briggs." As the months went by, I learned more and more about her, how she would bite her lip when she was nervous, like she was doing right now. How she would never leave the hotel without wearing makeup. Her hair was always down and flowing around her face. How the clothes she wore were always revealing, but it wasn't because she wanted to show off her body. It was the tattoos. For some reason, she wanted them on full display. It wasn't to show off her ink. It was her way of sharing a piece of her soul with the world. She tried to keep at bay. One of the first things that caught me by surprise was how much she loved to read. Each night it was a new book. The innocence about her exposed every time she told me about the characters and the storylines, as if they were her friends or she was living vicariously through them. She beamed while she read, and I could tell what was happening in the book based off her expressions. Especially if something bad was happening. She would place her hand over her heart like she was trying to hold it together. Briggs also had sad moments. Her reflect time was what I called it. The way she would get lost in her own mind when she thought I wasn't looking. How she would pretend to be sleeping when she knew I was watching her sleep. Getting lost in her beauty. These were just to name a few, and even though I cherished every new thing I learned about her, it wasn't what I craved. And the crazy thing about that was, she knew it.
"Austin,"
she pleaded for me to stop insisting on knowing her truths. I wouldn't until I knew them. Every last one. "These last 5 months have been the best days of my life, being with you." She swallowed hard, her resistance wavering. "No one has ever made me feel the way you do. You have the ability to bring me to my knees with just a look. You're my drug, my addiction. I know that Briggs is a part of you. I know she exists, but I also know that she doesn't. Tell me your name, and I'll give you everything you've been dreaming about." Her eyes widened and her mouth parted. "You talk in your sleep. You also kind of snore."
"I don't snore."
She tried to slap my chest, but I caught her hand mid-swing. It's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. She sighed, revealing her internal struggle.
"You're my friend, Austin. My only friend. Trust me, I've let you in."
I leaned in close to her face, our mouths a few inches apart. With our connection never breaking, I didn't falter and whispered, "I want to be your friend that makes you come. I want you in my bed more than you'll ever know. Just tell me your name." She looked deep into my eyes and lied.
"My name is Briggs."
Chapter 18. Austin.
"Austin, Why don't you ever take your shirt off unless we're in our hotel room?
Briggs asked, looking over at me from the kitchen where she was making us some food. I could see her out of the corner of my eyes, but didn't look up to acknowledge her question. I was sitting on the couch adjacent to her with my notebook in my hands. "Hmm?" I replied, barely paying any attention. I was too caught up, my hand bleeding against the page.
"Your shirt? You don't have a shirt on right now.
You don't even take it off when we're at the beach or the pool. You barely wear one when you're in our hotel rooms,
so I'm asking you the reason for that."
I closed my notebook and set it beside me. I hadn't shared my talent with her yet. She knew what the notebook was for. It's kind of hard to hide something from someone you've been with for 7 months, but I hadn't shown her any sketches yet. I wasn't ready to let her into that part of my life, especially since she had yet to tell me her name. She also wasn't ready to see them. I gave up on asking her what her real name was, mainly because I was tired of getting disappointed and having her blatantly lie to my face. A man could only take so much letdown. I think it bothered her that I stopped asking. She was getting lost in thought more often than ever before. I grinned. "Are we sharing sad stories now, baby?" She bit her lip and narrowed her eyes at me. "I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours," I added. She sighed, looking back down at the food she was preparing, lost in thought again.
"That's what I thought," I said under my breath.
I grabbed my notebook, walking toward the bathroom to shower.
"Austin,"
she called out behind me, making me turn to face her.
"You can pick any tattoo on my body except your favorite, and I will tell you what it means,"
she said, gesturing up and down her body, wiggling her eyebrows. I smiled big and wide. She was trying to make light of the serious situation. I watched her eyes go exactly where I wanted them, to the notebook in my hands. She wanted to know what I drew in there, probably as much as I wanted to know what her real name was. I gravitated toward her like a magnet. My feet moved on their own accord, following the pounding rhythm of her heart that I knew was racing fast and hard. For me. I couldn't get to her fast enough. The anticipation was alive and breathing all around me, guiding me toward a little part of her that she was finally willing to share. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was a step in the right direction. Each stride brought me closer to her before I finally broke the distance between us. Her eyes were silently begging me to touch her. To feel her. My thumb swiped over her plump bottom lip, and within seconds, I was pulling it out from between her teeth, taking a moment to trace along the soft, wet skin. It didn't take long for her tongue to graze against my finger. I loved the effect I had on her. Her eyes dilated. My cock twitched. I threw my notebook on the counter, slowly gliding my thumbs down to her clavicle bone, never losing contact with her skin. She stirred when she felt me caress back and forth along the cursive writing tattooed in a language I didn't recognize. "This one," I simply stated, eyeing her cautiously. She blinked, her eyes immediately filling with tears. I frowned, waiting for her to share a piece of her soul with me. It took everything inside me not to tell her that she didn't have to do this. But I needed her to. That outweighed the turmoil it was causing her. She shook her head, struggling to let the meaning leave her lips.
"It's in Spanish. It means February 21st.
My eyebrows lowered as I stared intently into her eyes, waiting for her to continue.
"It's the day I died, Austin. It's the day the girl you think is still inside me."
She placed her hand over her tattoo.
"The one you keep asking for her name died."
I jerked back, shocked as shit. I wasn't expecting that at all. I stepped away from her, roughly running my hands through my hair, wanting to tear it the fuck out. I needed a second to comprehend what she just shared. It knocked the fucking wind right out of me, and I was finding it hard to breathe. "What the fuck?" Tears started to slide down her beautiful face, one right after the other, falling onto her white shirt, leaving a trail of her pain. I used the same thumb I'd been using to stir sensations from her body a minute ago to wipe away her tears.
They belong to me now.
Austin, please say something,
she wept, overwhelmed by her truth and my silence. Jesus Christ, Briggs, I breathed out, just as overwhelmed from her truth. She grimaced, not understanding my reaction. I fucking hate my scars. They're a part of me, a part that I can't ever get rid of. They're forever etched in my skin.
Austin,
she coaxed, her heart breaking for me.
You're beautiful. You...
I placed my thumb over her lips, silencing her. It was still wet from her tears. She looked up at me, her big blue eyes so full of sadness for me, and I hated that even more. I didn't want her sympathy. I didn't fucking deserve it. I hate people staring at me, asking themselves, what happened to him? Feeling fucking sorry for me. I paused, letting my words sink in.
I don't know how this is even fucking possible, but on the exact same date you died, Briggs, I almost died too. Except that's not the fucking reason I hate my scars. I hate them because all they do is remind me every day that I almost killed my best friend too.
Her eyes widened.
Oh my God,
she rasped, her voice breaking as much as her resolve. Her head shook fervently. I couldn't tell if it was from the fact that something life-changing happened to both of us on the same date or the truth I just revealed. She pressed her hand against her forehead, bowing her head like she had just been suddenly struck with a splitting headache.
Briggs, I was in a car...
She put her hand out in front of her, silencing me.
No more sad stories, Austin,
she interrupted, giving me a look I had never seen before.
I can't hear any more.
I didn't falter. For now, Briggs. No more sad stories. For now. She peeked up at me through her lashes and spoke with conviction.
Fuck sad stories.
With that, she turned away from me and went into the bathroom, closing the door behind her. I wanted to go after her. I wanted to hold her and take away her pain. And for the first time since the car accident, I wanted her to take my pain away, too. I grabbed two pain pills, swallowing them down with no water. They burned my dry throat going down, but I welcomed the distraction. Seconds later, I heard the shower turn on and soft crying echoing through the room. It killed me that she was crying, that our sad stories could affect her that much. The tough girl exterior gone, replacing it with a girl I knew still lived inside her. The same girl whose name she wouldn't tell me. All I could do was hope that one day she would. I let her have her space, grabbing my notebook from the counter. I went back to the couch, taking out all my frustrations and sadness on blank paper. I don't know how long I sat there, engrossed in my truths, when I finally heard the bathroom door open. She walked toward me immediately and grabbed my hand.
Come on.
Without another word, I set my notebook aside and followed her. We drove in silence in the car, both of us lost in our thoughts. I didn't even care where she was taking me, too caught up in the irony and fate of it all. She parked the car on the street, pulling up the parking brake. It was then that I looked around the building. Where are we? She opened the door and turned, looking me dead in my eyes.
To make your sad story a happy one.
What? She stepped out of the car before I could even finish. She was on a mission as I followed close behind her up to the door. She opened it and walked inside. I threw down my cigarette, stepping on it to put it out.
Jose!
She called out to the guy in the back as soon as the door closed behind me. He turned and smiled as soon as he saw her.
Briggs, my girl!
He was over to her in three strides, pulling her into his arms. She laughed, smiling over at me from above his shoulder. He pulled away first, staring back at me.
Hey, man!
He stuck out his hand.
I'm Jose!
I shook it. Austin.
You hanging out with trouble over here?
He asked, nodding toward her.
Something like that,
I chuckled.
Hey, I bring you a new client and you give me shit?
She laughed.
Client?
I broke in, still so fucking confused with the turn of events.
Come on.
Grabbing my hand, she led me to a table. She sat me down, and it was then I realized we were in a tattoo shop. She squatted down in front of me, sitting on the balls of her feet, and once again looked deep into my eyes as she spoke with conviction.
Pick a scar, Austin. Turn your pain into something fucking beautiful.
And I did.
Briggs, the second the needle touched Austin's scar, the worst one on the middle of his back, I knew he would instantly become addicted to ink. There was nothing that could ever explain the surge of adrenaline that soared through your body when you took your pain into your own hands. Not letting it take you under, even if it was only until the needle stopped moving against your flesh, his scar now getting covered by the outline, color, and shading. He decided on a phoenix bird spreading its wings, flying out of the flames of hell below. Rising. Reborn. The outline took up most of his back, covering up the evidence that haunted him every day. We spent the rest of the night there while Jose worked his magic on Austin's imperfect skin, creating something beautiful out of something broken. He said it would take 3 or 4 sessions to finish it completely, but when it was done, it'd be a pretty sick masterpiece. Austin told him he would be back the next morning, eager to get it finished. We drove in comfortable silence on the way back to our hotel. I knew he wanted to say so much by the way he was stealing glances at me while he was smoking a cigarette. I didn't need to hear it. The happiness on his face was enough of a thank you for me. Austin went right in the shower when he got back to the hotel. I cleaned up the food I left in the kitchen, deciding to order room service for us instead. I used the phone on the end table by the couch, turning on the TV after I hung up. I would be lying if I said I hadn't been staring at Austin's notebook that was placed on the coffee table since I started cleaning up the kitchen. It was sitting right there, tempting me to open it and find out the secrets behind the cover. For whatever reason, he never left it out. I knew he drew. I just didn't know what he was actually drawing on the pages inside. I'd watch him get lost for hours with that notebook in his lap, never finding the courage to ask him what captivated him so damn much. I still heard the shower running. I knew it was wrong to invade his privacy without permission, but I couldn't fucking help myself. I needed to know. With shaky hands, I reached over to the table and picked up the notebook that held a piece of Austin's world. I wasn't worried that he could come out of the bathroom at any moment and catch me red-handed. I was more worried about what my eyes would see. My heart was pounding, my mind racing as if it knew that I was about to discover something that would change our friendship. Something that would change our future, colliding us onto a path that we would never be able to veer away from. I gasped, completely breathless from the first sketch I saw while invading his soul. Dancing, hair flowing wild and free, big bright blue eyes piercing right at me, high cheekbones, pouty lips, long lashes, no makeup on. I flipped the page. Wings, the left one darker, feathers misplaced, falling off, dark shading. The right one, perfect, every feather intact and immaculately placed, light shading, bows, skull with roses around it, writings in different fonts scattered, flowers cascading down, everything was so intricately drawn. I stopped to admire each and every one of them, running my fingers over the illustrations with tears in my eyes. I never knew what he was drawing. Not once. Next page, a girl sleeping, her head placed on a pillow with her mouth partly open, the sheet covering up to her stomach, her breasts perked up. She looked so peaceful, beautiful. I swear I could see her breathing. More tears. Book covers upon book covers upon book covers. Next page, a girl deep in thought, her eyes so sad, so lost. So fucking captivating. Every single page, every last one, was me. But not me. It wasn't Briggs staring back at me. It was Daisy. He was able to capture every detail I so desperately tried to hide, not knowing one thing about the girl behind the purple hair and tattoos, but somehow knowing everything. How the hell did you do this, Austin? I asked myself out loud.
It was easy. I just need to look at you.
His voice startled me, making me jump. I never even heard the shower turn off. I didn't bother to look up. I was too mesmerized, caught up in the talent bleeding through the pages of a girl that I thought didn't exist anymore. More tears filled my eyes for the second time that day. I couldn't remember the last time I cried so much, except for the first time, and I don't know how long. They were tears of happiness. Why? I found myself asking, terrified to know the answer.
I heard his footsteps coming toward me, each one louder than the last, till he sat on the edge of the coffee table in front of me, reaching over to graze the side of my cheek with his fingers that no longer smelled like cigarettes. A smell that I now craved. "You're my muse,"